It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
I talked to Derek about having a heart transplant. You know, it is Transplant Awareness Month or week. I'm not too sure which. Definitely, it's they're calling for transplant awareness at this time. And I know the law is changing with regard to organ donation. It's the week. It's Transplant Awareness and Organ Donation Week. And I know that the law is in the process of changing with regard to having organs available for transplant. I have always said, it's always been my thing. All my family know this. They're blue in the face from hearing me say it. Like, if I happen to be gone in the morning, if I'm dead tomorrow, if there's anything in there that can be used, take it. Just take it. I have no use for it. So whatever's left of me that happens to be working and working properly, then feel free. Take it and give it to whoever would make use of it. That's how I am. It's how I've always been. I see no reason to take my bits with me if they can be of use to somebody else. Derek O'Sullivan, that happened to you back in 2017. You had a heart transplant. But I want to start before that. You were diagnosed, Derek, at 25. I've only ever heard of this, and I hope I've got the definition correctly. Your heart cannot slow itself down with this thing you have called sustained ventricular tachycardia. Is that what it is? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. So SVT is it's an electrical problem, really, between your left and right ventricles. And basically, the signals get a bit messed up and it goes into kind of just an abnormal rhythm and gets very, very quick. Personally, I've had upwards of over 300 BPM, and you don't have to last too long doing that kind of a thing.
It happened, or you discovered it, you were 25 and you discovered it, you collapsed playing a match.
Yeah, on the football pitch, passed out, and luckily came around now, and, you know, being 25, finished the match. But the following day, I decided this probably isn't great, so I went to my GP. And then through a long series of tests and time, we eventually got to this diagnosis of SVT.
Right. And this concerned you because I think your mother had passed away from the same, and she died quite young.
Yeah, she passed away at 46, she was. But that was cardiomyopathy, which is a failure of the muscles, really. One muscle gets over-enlarged and it struggles pumping blood around the body. Kind of out of sync, really. So my initial diagnosis was that, but it turns out now that we know more now that it was also cardiomyopathy, but it prevented early days as this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Over the following 15 years, it eventually descended into cardiomyopathy and heart failure.
They gave you an inbuilt defibrillator, didn't they?
Yeah. So in the early days, with that those runs of tachycardia, as it's called, that SVT. This is an implanted defib, and it constantly monitors and watches, and when they see something out of that it's not happy with, it'll administer shocks to try and rectify it. So, you know, people make the assumption that this thing, it kind of shocks your heart back into life, but it's the opposite. It actually stops your heart. And then your own natural pacemaker should come back in and yes. bring it back into normal.
Yes, that's what a lot of people don't realise, actually, that it does. Mm. That's what it does. And just for a second there, when you have one of these things inside you, is it painful when it works?
Yeah, it's awful.
Is it?
It's horrible. It's it goes through a series of things called pacing first. So it comes in and it acts like a pacemaker, and it's inclined to run quicker than your heart is doing. Mm. And gradually bring it back down again, so you could feel your heart is absolutely thumping in your chest.
Nice.
And then, so I tried that a couple of times, and if that doesn't work, then it gives you the shock, and you know it's coming, and it's horrible. It's very painful. It's and you're completely out of control, and maybe that's the worst part of it. That there's nothing you can do about it. This is coming, and it's there for a reason. It's saving your life, but
it ain't gonna be nice.
No, it's not fun at all. It's like being kicked very hard in the chest by a very strong person.
And how often would that happen, Derek?
Look, initially, it might have been, I don't know, you could have a run of a year or maybe even 2 years where you had nothing. Mm. But in the latter stages, certainly it was getting more and more frequent.
Right. And that's what happened in 2017, wasn't it? It started happening all the time.
So in 2017, I was getting kind of increasingly unwell, and meds were changed, and the advice of acting more and reacting, I suppose, really more. And so a battery of tests again, and then I was diagnosed with early stage heart failure.
What age were you?
I was 39.
When they tell you that, how does it feel?
Bit shocking.
Yeah.
But I remember the optimist, so I thought, okay, there's a new phase and let's go again.
Yeah. That's your attitude in life. What do we do now?
It has to be, really.
Yeah.
It has to be. Yeah. So I suppose from there, 6 months later, it continued to worsen. I was very unwell, very out of breath, couldn't really do a whole lot, really struggling, and I was diagnosed, I think, about 6 months after that with end-stage heart failure.
You got married thinking you weren't going to make it, did you?
We did, yeah. We organised the wedding on 10 days. And, we had a lovely day up. I can't remember.
Doesn't
we had a lovely day and we got married and,
Joanne and yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
How long were you together at that stage?
We had been together, I suppose, my goodness.
That says it all.
Six or seven years.
Yeah. And that was, so, like, you honestly thought, she thought, right, I'm going to marry this man. He might not be around much longer, but I'm going to marry him.
Exactly, yeah. It looked like, it was on the edge of whether I was going to pull through or not. I had made the transplant lift.
Yes.
That was it. We didn't know whether it was if I would get a heart in time or not, or even if I'd ever pull through. So yeah, we went ahead and decided to get married.
That's commitment. You nearly got taken off the heart transplant list, which would have been a disaster altogether. What happened to you?
So I was 2 weeks after the wedding. I was just, you know, trying to carry on. I went and tried to do some work, and I had a fairly catastrophic cardiac event in Ballincollig. And luckily enough, we managed to get the ambulance out, and I'm completely unaware of all this, but I'm told they worked on me for quite a while. A man called Charlie Harrington, if he's out there.
I know Charlie.
There you go. Charlie worked on me long after he probably should have. And got me somehow stabilised, and up to CUH, where they kind of said, look, we haven't stabilised, but it's not looking very good, so come and say your goodbyes. The family were called for, and all that kind of lovely stuff.
Yes.
Wow. But again, I'm completely unaware of all this. I'm in a coma at this stage.
Yes. So Charlie got you to hospital. He's retired now. I was at his retirement party a couple of years ago, and he'd be thrilled if he's listening to hear you talking to me. So you got taken to the matter then?
I did. I was struggling there for a while, and good old Jerry Sahi out in CUH there came in on a Saturday morning and kind of said, look, we need to shift him to the matter. And I believe the team said, look, he's too unstable, we can't do anything. And Jerry said, being Jerry, said, look, he's getting to bed, so we might as well try something. So,
don't you love it when people just say it out like it is?
Yeah. Yeah. They brought down, an intensive care ambulance. It's a very specialised ambulance, and that came down from Dublin to pick me up. And they have all sorts of magical equipment in there, and that got me up to the matter, where they managed to get stabilised again. And kind of after.
Had you any awareness of this at the time, Derek?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Oh. Was it Joanne told you afterwards, or the doctors, or what?
Yeah, Joanne afterwards, with my family.
Yeah. So you were in the matter.
Hmm.
And decisions have to be made.
Yeah, I was in the matter hospital again. Magical team up there somehow got me kind of stabilised, brought me around. I was starting to move a little. I said, like, walking around the nurse's station was like running a marathon. But look, that's the thing, is to kind of keep you moving and keep you going from this. The longer you're in bed, the harder the recovery is, and the less fit you're getting, so the less you're able to take a surgery if you're lucky enough to get one.
Yeah, because there is a thing, and a lot of people wouldn't know this, would they? You have to be well enough, you have to be sick enough to need a transplant, but well enough to recover from it.
Yeah, and that's a very fine line.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah. Let's call a spade here, there's no point in putting a valuable human organ into a man whose body isn't going to be well enough to take it.
Exactly that, and it's really, it sounds horrible and cynical, but even right up to the last minute, there will be a selection of people called for whatever heart comes available, yes. And all of them, it gets whittled down one by one till the last person, and the surgeon on the night, generally at night, is going through the heart itself until he looks at it and sees it and feels like, okay, this is...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Probably best suited to X, Y, or Z, and then, like, so everyone gets called and prepped for surgery and fully scrubbed up and all ready to go. And they all, one by one, they can be told, look, sorry, it's not you this time. And it's like a lottery for whoever is the most suitable and gets it on the night.
Were you conscious when they came in and told you you were?
I was. I remember it, yeah. They came in and said, there's a heart available. We're going to prep, yeah. But don't get your hopes up, because it might not be you.
Yeah, you see, and a lot of people think that's cruel, but there's no other way to do it. You've You just have
no,
to. Yeah, yeah.
There isn't. And they were very kind and gave me lots of lovely drugs, so I didn't really care.
Yeah, your daughter was doing her Leaving Cert at the same time.
Oh, Laura, yeah, was doing her Leaving Cert the same year. She was under a lot of pressure with that. And this is all going on at the same time. Wow. You know, she looked tough all year that year. And she was up and down to Dublin to me and everything, in fairness for now. And yeah, it was a tough time for her as well.
So you were the lucky one that day. And what's the next thing you remember, Derek?
The next thing I remember is kind of, and it's all very vague. It's all a bit hazy because, you know, obviously you're very drugged up, extremely drugged up. So that, like, again, we're talking about balances here. They have to be able to put you so far under that someone can open up your chest, cut out your heart and put in a new one and stitch you back up, without killing you. So you can imagine a lot of medication involved.
It's a bit of skill involved in that.
Yeah. So I kind of remember coming around in the matter, really needing the bathroom was my first instinct, but couldn't move for a little while. And I suppose it's all very hazy. It's all really hazy. But I do kind of remember then going from intensive care, vague memories in intensive care, and then you go to kind of a step down. The next one is critical care. Yeah. And then you're definitely a bit more aware of what's going on.
Your first clear memory then would be what, Derek?
Yeah, I think critical care unit, and sitting in a chair, actually. This was probably only 4 days post-surgery.
Right.
Sitting in a chair and just people come to see me. And I remember my hands pre-surgery were like purple, black and purple, because of a lack of circulation. But I remember looking at my hands and they were pink. Normal coloured hands, and thinking, "Wow."
Okay. And other than battered from surgery, because you would be, how did you feel?
Oh, I awful guilt actually for the first
guilt.
Probably, yeah. I somehow in my head, again in my drug-addled state, somebody died in order for me to live, and I kind of struggled with that for a little while.
Okay, that's normal.
Yeah. But I kind of remember the nurses there again who were excellent, saying this is absolutely normal, and I suppose that person was dying anyway.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so
did you ever guilt. Did you ever find out who it was?
No. And there's a kind of a system there where you can write a letter and you give it to the transplant team and they pass it on to the family involved. And it's up to the family then if they want to come back to you or not. And look, they never came back to me. And look, that's absolutely fine.
Did you write your letter? You did?
I did. I wrote my letter and sent it off. And they didn't reply. And that's absolutely fine.
Of course.
Fantastic. Look, I don't. Thank you so much for the gift they've given me.
That's what you put in, was it? What did you put into it?
Oh, look, just kidding. That stuff, you know, I have a future now. You know, I have a life in front of me. And, you know, 6 years ago, I didn't. I had nothing in front of me.
Yeah. Now, you went from a situation where you could barely walk, you were in a coma,
yeah.
And a year later, you ran 5K down in Bear Island.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, alive.
Yeah, it's a pretty stark contrast.
Mm. And how are you now?
An excellent.
Mm.
An excellent. Like, good, strong, fit, healthy, there's nothing I can't do. My good old buddy Chris O'Donovan there, we go on good hikes up mountains there every now and again, and it's it's mind-boggling, the difference.
Yeah, you've now set up a business and all.
Yeah, we set up a little business there 2 years ago. We're called HPF Mechanical Heating and Plumbing Company.
Okay.
Again, like that, everybody in the construction industry is doing well. So yeah, we're doing okay. It's all good. Very happy.
Fantastic. And this is stuff you couldn't have dreamed of.
No, not at all. It was like, you know, we talk about death's door. I was beyond death's door.
So much knocking on it as kicking it in.
I was on the other side. Somehow they pulled me back. I don't know how.
Wow. How was Joanne through all this?
Joanne had a very tough time through all this, of course. I mean, you know, I'm either heavily sedated or unaware to one manner or another. So she had all the actual hard times going through it all. So, yeah, and she struggled with a lot of that too.
Yeah, and you're close to your dad. He came up and down all the time, didn't he?
He did, and post-transplant as well. There's a period there where you're kind of, your immune system is obviously pretty much wiped to take that surgery initially.
Yeah.
So they're kind of not really, I wasn't allowed to drive for a while, and so he said bring me up on the train there every couple of weeks up for my checkups and stuff like that. But again, no, like my checkups now are now probably twice a year as opposed to twice a month where I was.
Mm-hmm. Do you think still about the person whose heart you have inside you?
I do. Life moves on, and I don't mean that in a nasty way at all, but you kind of forget. I'm so well, I forget.
Of course you do. It's normal.
Yeah. And every now and again, you have to check yourself and go, come here, remember where you were. And yeah, so then I think of that poor chap, whoever he was, similar age, weight, height. He'd have to be a very similar character to myself for our hearts to be compatible.
Yeah.
So there's probably some family out there, you know, missing their dad, husband, uncle, whomever.
Yeah.
And that's the stark reality of it all, you know.
Yeah. But you'd encourage. I said at the start, and I said it many times, like if anything, fingers crossed, were to happen to me tonight or tomorrow, my family are under instruction. If it works, they are to take it.
Absolutely. And look, I have a little bit of a little line on all this, and I threw out there, we were up in Dublin last week at the launch of Organ Donation Week, and I have a little kind of a caveat I throw out, and it's like the science here is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
The medication, the staff, the nurses, the surgeons, what they're doing here, the anaesthetist, that man who put you so far under, but not kill you.
Yeah.
It's all incredible, but without the donors, it's all for nothing.
Yeah.
Unless there's a heart there, or lungs, or livers, or kidneys, or whatever the case may be, it's irrelevant. There's no chance.
Yeah. Yeah. But here you are, living proof, and there's a great, I don't know if you know him at all, Andy Dunn. He's a musician, Cork musician, and an old pal of mine. And Andy was a kidney transplant recipient, and he wrote a song for his donor called Living Proof. It's on Spotify. Look it up.
I will.
Living Proof that donation is worth thinking about, and Living Proof that it works.
Yeah. It's more than thinking about. Look, we are now, you know, you mentioned earlier there about the law is changing. So the bill has passed.
Yeah.
It is now, it's paperwork, it's the HSE and government and getting all that together.
And is it as simple, I imagine you take an interest in it, is it as simple as we will all be donors unless we say we're not?
Yeah. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And like the question, unfortunately, that horrible question that none of us hope ever asked was, would you consider donation?
Yes.
Whereas going forward, the question will be, so no, we're going to go ahead with the donation.
Okay. All right. Well, I wish you well, and I wish everybody connected to you well. I'm delighted to hear that it's been a great success for you. And we think of your donor. We all share thoughts of you, because without that, let's think of another thing, Derek. Without that person, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, I will be brown bread.
All right. Listen, look after yourself, fella, and look after that lovely family of yours and that new business. Exciting times for you. Derek O'Sullivan with me today to mark Organ Donation Week. You can support Organ Donation by sharing, thank you, Derek, by sharing your wishes with your loved ones. First of all, have that conversation. It's very important that they know, because actually they do have the final say. I don't like that, by the way. But they do. And keep reminders of your decision available. You can carry an Honor Organ Donor card. You can have code 115 put on your driver's license. Or you can download a digital donor card onto your phone. You can get onto the Irish Kidney Association. They handle it for everybody. Organ donor cards. You can get onto their website, ika.ie. Look it up there. Or you can call them at 01620-5306. 01620-5306. And as Derek said, the law has changed now. It's just a matter of it being implemented. So we will all be now, from here on in, we will all be donors, unless we say that we're not. Why you would say that, I do not know. And why anyone would stop you from being, I certainly do not know. Thank you, Derek.
Cork's 96 FM.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.